Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the podcast and finding valuable information from it. Now, I do have a quick ask of you, and that would be to make sure to follow me on all social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, which is at Kyle C. Wilson Official, and on Twitter, which is The Kyle C. Wilson. And if you could help me do that, that would continue to help reinforce the ideas that I want to continue producing content specifically made for you guys to help educate you. And as always, you know I'm there to help, as I have $23,195 worth of content available for free through my YouTube channel that will answer and help a lot of the problems that you're going through, or at least your child's going through. So if you haven't found that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Obsession Beast Parent Education Level 1 course. We are now in class number 5. Today, we are going to be discussing the 3 keys for Zone 1. The 3 keys for Zone 1. Very important. And this might be one of the best classes possible in the entire course, although there's a lot of good ones. But anyways, there's 3 keys for maximizing development, preparation, and experience in Zone 1. And I want you to write down what you believe they are. Take a minute. 3 things. There are 3 keys for maximizing development, preparation, and experience in Zone 1. And I want you to write down what you think they are. Take 30 seconds. You don't need to take 3 minutes. Take 30 seconds. Write them down. Now, while you're doing that, I want you to listen to this question and think about it. Would you be opposed to following a plan not set out by U.S. Soccer and its supporting cast? Now, what this question is really deriving from, and I mentioned it last time about thinking outside the box. If you follow the plan set by U.S. Soccer, or the clubs within U.S. Soccer, or the model within U.S. Soccer, how many times have we developed a world-class soccer player, or footballer as I like to call it, in the men's side? And the answer is 0. We haven't developed a single one. We've had some good, decent players. Yes, we've had good and decent players. Okay, but world-class is non-existent. It hasn't happened yet. And on the women's side, you could say we've maybe had a couple of world-class players. Yes, that's true. But look at the recent track record. Our level of performance at the women's side has significantly dropped. And we're not the same powerhouse we used to be, as everybody else has kind of caught up to us. Now, hopefully you wrote down and you took time to think about the 3 keys. We're going to get to them shortly. But to be successful in the long run, we need to think outside of the box that U.S. Soccer has, as we have no track record of elite level development. And that's a fact. We just don't have it, at least on the men's side. You could maybe provide an argument and say, Kyle, well, what about the women? Maybe. But again, if you compare our women compared to France, Spain, Germany, England, Brazil, they did not have the women's football infrastructure yet. And I can give you a perfect personal example. So a very good friend of mine, he's almost like a dad to me, is the technical director at Olympic Lyonnais. And he's actually the technical director of the Women's Academy, Girls Academy. This is the correct terminology, I apologize. And he used to ask me every 3 to 6 months from like 2017 to like 2021, hey Kyle, do you have any girls that you think would be a good fit that we could bring in for a trial to the Academy or potentially the pro team? And then right around 2021, he no longer sent me that message. And I'm sitting here going, what's going on? But basically what happened is they have an academy at Olympic Lyonnais, which is phenomenal, by the way. It's a beautiful complex. And at the academy, they originally only had boys football in the academy, 100% free. And they introduced the girls academy. I don't remember specifically when, but 2019, 2018, 17 maybe, right? 16 maybe. I don't remember specifically when. They were building the program and they were open to outside help in terms of players. And then they got it to a point, and remember, it's free, by the way. So they got it to a point where they no longer need outside players and they're constantly developing their own players and it's free. So the girls don't pay anything. The boys don't pay anything. You just have to get into the academy. And if you're there and you can keep it, you might be able to earn a professional contract. So if you think about where this is going, Olympic Lyonnais, as the example, had a boys' academy, very, very successful.
implemented a girls' academy within the same infrastructure they already had, just had to hire staff and maybe reserve one or two, three fields, four fields, whatever it is, for the girls' academy. Maybe they had to build one or two, fine. But they already set aside the infrastructure that was there for them and had to bring in staff to implement that. Their cost to do it is almost nothing. I mean, there is cost, don't get me wrong, but comparatively to starting an entire academy from scratch and building the infrastructure, it's basically nothing. So they have the platform in place now, and many other clubs within other parts of the world, Spain, again, England, they have the same type of infrastructure for the academy. So they're able to produce players. Whereas if you look at our best women's academies, which are pay-to-play models, we don't have, to my knowledge, a free version, then can youth development take the priority? And the answer would probably be no, and that's why we're being caught. So the reason for my success and being different from the average American soccer mindset was that I had parents who were bought in and a coach who taught us and me to play football and not play American soccer. So I want to say that again. I had parents that were bought in and I had a coach who taught us how to play football, not American soccer. And he had a quote, and I've kind of paraphrased it slightly differently. And he said, there is a difference between kicking into a soccer ball and playing the game of football. And that is 100% correct. There is a difference between kicking into a soccer ball and playing the game of football. And I want you to kind of stew on that for a second. There's a difference between kicking into a soccer ball and playing the game of football. And there's a huge difference with this. And people seem to like misunderstand that, because when kick it, boot it, and send it are the three most heard phrases on the sideline from the coach's side and the parent's side, that's soccer. We're not even talking about football yet. But let's move forward, because this is the point of this class. So hopefully you thought about the three things you need to be successful in zone one. Now, the three things that you need are actually people. That might be a little surprising. You might have wrote some other stuff down. And if you want to send me a DM on Instagram, Kyle C. Wilson Official, with what you thought it was, I would love to know what you thought. But the three people that you need for the best possible opportunity for development are the three following things. A player, and this is the first piece, you need a player that is bought in and ready to put in the work. You need a parent who is bought in and ready to support. And then three, you need a coach that cares and is willing to put in the work for development. If you have those three things, it's possible. So let's look at the player specifically. There's a couple of points we're going to look at. The player. The only person who control their outcome is the player. This starts with the non-negotiable of effort. We'll talk about this more, but in future classes. But this is the thing that the player can control, is their outcome. Nobody else can control it. Can you get some support? Sure. Can you get some networking ports? Yeah, all day. But the only person who can control the outcome potentially is the player, nobody else. Now, the player has to want it. The player has to work for it. He has to, or he or she has to recover appropriately. The player has to be committed to the process. The player has to do the right things off and on the field. The player has to eat well to provide appropriate nutrition. So that means you're not eating a bunch of junk food, drinking soda, fast food. You have to do the right things. The player has to perform on the field and dominate. And the player has to be willing to train every single day on and off the field. Because a lot of people think when I say they have to train every day, that means you have to be on the field. That's not the case. There's many ways to train without being on a field. It could be watching game film. It could be watching pro matches. It could be practicing interviews. Like, do you see how much professional players have interviews and being able to have a conversation with somebody? It could be just little things like that. And a lot of those things will lead to success in life. Because what people don't seem to understand is that this kind of stuff compounds. Like, somebody asked me the other day, Kyle, do you believe in luck? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't say I believe in luck. What I believe in, though, however, is if you do something so much, eventually something will either happen and or pay off for you. So I'll give you an example in terms of a football context. Let's pretend you're about to receive a cross, midair, coming in. It's about to drop. You're getting ready on the end of it. You're ready to hit this thing and put it in the back of the net. Now, You want to go and take this on the volley. Not off the bounce, a volley, a full-on volley out of the air. You want to hit this. If you haven't practiced volleying before, maybe first the core skill of volley with hundreds of hours of reps, and then practice a cross to you to then volley with hours and hours of reps, then you're not prepared to take advantage of the opportunity that's going to be presented to you. Now, if you have put in those reps and practiced, then that ball comes, it's dropping, and you're ready to hit that thing, bam, with great contact. Yeah, somebody might call you lucky. They might say, hey, he was lucky he hit that. Uh-uh, that's not luck, that's practice. And the perfect scenario happened to happen, that the sequence happened in the right moment, you were there to take advantage. So if that's what you want to call luck because you put in the hours of effort, then fine. But I said it a second ago, it compounds. So if you keep doing something over and over again, something will happen and or pay off. And those are things that I think people, you know, either undervalue or don't understand. The compounding effect is huge. And like a different example would be like, okay, I was actually having this conversation today with a parent and they're like, Kyle, you juggle really well. And I'm like, hey, you want to know the truth? They're like, yeah, sure. I was like, do you know how often I practice juggling right now? And they're like, I don't, probably once a week, a couple times a week. And I'm like, dude, I haven't practiced juggling in months. And they're like, what do you mean? You look like a natural at it. And I'm like, yeah, what you're missing out on is when I was a young kid, I would practice juggling for hours to work on my touch. Hours, days, months. I probably put in years of training juggling or juggling training. And like, where I'm going with that is you don't ever lose the skill. It's stuck. We made it stick. My level, because I don't practice consistently, I might get a little rusty, but you don't lose it. And your level of performance might drop as you age if you're not practicing the same way. But the point is, you'll never lose it. It will always be there. You just might drop a little bit over time. And that's because you put in the hours of reps to get it. So I can play, you know, soccer, tennis games. I can play futsal, volley, whatever you want me to play. I can play it. If I practice more today, I'll be better at it. But I still have a very good level to be able to play, for example, juggling games because I've practiced so many times and so many hours of doing it. Moving forward to parents. That's our second key. You are there to support, drive, and find the correct coaching environment to help your child grow. You are their rock, cushion, and taxi driver. And I put a little PS for you here, because this is important. A lot of parents think that they're the coach. No, you're not the coach. You're the parent. You're there to support, to drive your child to and from practice into games, and to find the correct coach and environment to help your child grow. So again, PS, you are not the coach. You are the supporting piece. And that's your role. So do that. And a lot of parents get confused with this and think that they are the coach. Well, if you are the coach, then go be a coach. You're a parent. Please perform your role. Be a parent. Don't go do what 98% of parents are doing on the sideline and trying to be the kid's coach, even though they have a coach that they're paying for. But a lot of people say, well, the coach isn't doing their job. Well, that's on you because you didn't find the guy that cares about development and teaching correctly or the environment. You decided to pay for something because you decided to get caught up in the whole name or brand or whatever it was that you decided to follow. And you screwed yourself. So you're trying to work your way out of it by coaching. Well then, if you want to be the coach, go be a coach. I know that sounds a little harsh, but I need you to hear that because if you think you can be the coach as the parent, you're only going to ruin your relationship with your child. And this next point here, well, these are more points, but there's another point I will show you in a second. But the point is, you need to understand these key points. You need to understand that this is your child's dream, not your dream. Especially if your player is coming to you saying, Mom, Dad, I want to be a pro or a college player. Be supportive, but do not force. You cannot force your child to play. They have to want it. Now, this is key as well. They kind of go hand in hand. Allow your child to play without additional pressure. Remember, I said this before in a different class. If they're looking at you when they make a mistake, that means you're putting extra pressure on them. Stop that. Let them play free. And if that's happening to you, my recommendation would be disappear for like 5 games. And then eventually what will happen is they'll stop looking for you. It might take more than 5 games. But the point is, if you disappear and stop watching their game and do something else, and you're not there on the sideline, they won't have to, they'll notice you're not there, and they can't look for you anymore. Next piece is help provide the right nutrition and hydration. Water, proper food, how to take care of the body. It sounds cliche, but it really is true. You are what you eat. If you don't eat well, or your child doesn't eat well, their performance will diminish, especially in the long run. You need to find the coach that will help you, that will help develop your child. Allow them the opportunity to problem solve when issues arise. And I apologize for the spelling error, but there is a spelling error. Let them find their zone when traveling to games or practice. Don't try and force it. Understand mistakes are an important part of learning and growing. Allow and embrace when your child makes a mistake. Those kind of go hand in hand. And then do not joystick or sideline coach. Please don't do it. It's so embarrassing to watch, to be honest. I can't stand it when I watch parents do that. You have a coach. Let the coach coach, one. And then two, don't do that, because that helps nobody and it only makes your relationship with your child worse. Honestly. And I see it. I've seen it so often. It's crazy. Now, this is really important because this is something that parents seem to misunderstand. This is actually what my dad said, and I think it's verbatimly true. If you are a parent, and of course you are if you're watching this or listening to it, if you want your child coming to you to solve all of their problems for the rest of their life, then continue to solve all their problems on the field and off the field. However, if you don't want your player coming to you for the rest of your life, or your child having to be your player, coming to you for the rest of their life, you don't want them to, then stop solving all of their problems. Otherwise, they will not have the experience, the understanding, and the ability to figure out how to solve problems. And that's huge. So I want to read this to you one more time, and I want you to really stew on this. If you want your child coming to you to solve all of their problems for the rest of their life and your life, then solve all of their problems today, tomorrow, and in the future. Now, parents, this is important, and I'll dive into this more in the future with another class, but I want to at least introduce it now. As a parent, and if I was a parent, or I should say when I will be a parent, there's only one thing that is a non-negotiable for me regarding my son or daughter. And no, it's not mistakes. It's effort. How much effort are they giving? The only thing that is a non-negotiable for me is that they give 100% effort in everything that they do. I can't force them to be great, but I can force them to give effort. And they're going to have a lot of moments of failure compared to success, but how bad do they want it? And the only way to find out is through effort. And if they're not giving effort, then they don't want it. Now let's move to the coach. This is the third and final key in the puzzle for player development, especially in zone one. The coach is so important. This is somebody that you essentially are trusting to develop your kid or to help develop your child, to be, even if they're not a professional or collegiate player, to be a better person and a better leader. Think holistically. And the coach needs to be focused on developing the player in the long run and not just winning this coming Saturday or Sunday. Like, don't get me wrong, winning feels good. But if you're just with a coach that wins on the weekend, and their training is a joke, and it's just scrimmages, for example, eventually it's going to fall off. The wheels will come off, the car will break down. And that will lead to frustration. That will lead to disappointment. That will lead to objectives and goals not being achieved. So if you actually care about your child's long-term success, finding a coach is the key. Not a key, the key. So here are some recommendations that I have. Look at my age-appropriate development framework, and all of this stuff can be found on my YouTube channel, Kyle Z. Wilson Official. Not all of it, but like, for example, the age-appropriate development framework is. Do they follow a methodology close to Kyle's Obsession Beast program? I hope so, because if you do, that will help, and they'll help accelerate development. The coach focuses on technical skills between 7 to 13 years old. The coach uses juggling with shoelaces and not toes. That's big, and I'll dive into this later, but there's two types of juggling. There's juggling with the shoelaces, which is game realistic or game-based technique, and then there's toes juggling, which is what freestylers do. And if you don't believe me, go to YouTube and search for Freestyle World Championships, and you'll see some absolutely crazy stuff from a skill perspective. But you put those guys on the field, they can't play. Now, the next one, the coach used a lot of small-sided games, like 1v1 to 5v5. The coach is willing to push players up 2+ years, but this is only really eligible if the player has the level to compete. It can't just be because we need to push them up. They have to have the level. The coach maximizes individual skill development. The training sessions are fun and players enjoy training. The sessions are extremely competitive. Winning at the weekend is not the most important thing. Long-term development is. And what I'll highlight with this is I changed my approach, or I don't know if I changed my approach, but I realized my approach was winning at the weekend or a tournament is not my thing. My thing is helping to develop players to get to the next level and get to places that I didn't get to. That's my win, not what I won on the weekend. The coach teaches the players to play football and not American kickball. Okay, now let's get to a personal example, and this is about the coach, like I mentioned earlier. So I was lucky enough to find, or it was me, but my parents found a coach who cared about development. And that's so, so, so important. It's because of this coach that I was able to build the foundations that I have to get to where I'm at now. Like, I can't undervalue that, and I can't stress this enough. If you want your child to be successful, you gotta find a guy that cares about development in the long run. That's the only way you can do it, at least in the current climate, as of 2023, December, moving into January 2024. There's no other way about it. And I've put together 2 PDF documents. They're frameworks, actually, designed to help you find and determine it and an appropriate fit for a coach or a personal trainer. So if you're somebody that wants to have a private trainer, I've put together frameworks that you can self-review later. One is called What to Look For Framework for a Coach and What to Look For Framework for a Trainer. And doing that, you'll have a better idea of what to look for and why to look for it. From a coach and a trainer perspective, there's 2 documentations. So let's get to the recommendations. I have a couple of them. Obviously, review the 2 frameworks, use them, and help develop that process for yourself. You need to make sure that you have all 3 bought in. Player is willing to give 100% effort, willing to put in the work, and get the job done. Parent who's there to support, and coach who cares about development and is willing to put in the work to help develop players. Next piece, be a supportive parent, not a coach. Like I'm really harping on this over different classes, but like it is so important. I don't want you to ruin the relationship with your kids because they will resent you if you do more than support. And your relationship will only improve by being a supportive parent. And then please think bigger picture than just the weekend. Like everybody wants to win, but winning is not the end all be all. Think bigger picture. Think outside the box. And that basically wraps up class number 5, the 3 keys for zone 1. I hope you found a lot of value from this. Make sure you review the frameworks that I'm giving you. And without further ado, guys, we'll get into class number 6 here shortly, and we'll see you there. If you want more information, I have my age development curriculum that you can watch and look at for free on my YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. All you need to do is just smash that subscribe button when you get there, and we'll see you there.